gently directed his hand around my hip to reach for me from behind. Nipping his jaw with my teeth, I gathered the courage he inspired in me and whispered, "Touch me here with your fingers. Mark me there." He froze, his chest lifting and falling rapidly.
"I don't..." His voice strengthened. "I don't do anal play, Ava."
Looking into his eyes, I saw something dark and volatile. Something very painful. Of all the things for us to have in common. The raw passion of our lust, gentled into the warm familiarity of love. With my heart breaking, I confessed, "I don't either. At least, not voluntarily."
"Then, why?"
The confusion in his voice moved me deeply. I hugged him, pressing my cheek to his shoulder and listening to the slightly panicked beat of his heart. "Because I believe your touch can erase Nathan's."
"Oh, Ava."
His cheek pressed to the crown of my head. I snuggled closer. "You make me feel safe." We held each other for long moments. I listened to his heartbeat slow and his breathing smooth out. I inhaled deeply, relishing the mix of his personal scent mixed with the scent of hard lust and harder sex. When the tip of his middle finger slid gossamer soft over the pucker of my anus, I stilled and pulled back to look at him.
"Gideon?"
"Why me?"
he asked softly, his beautiful eyes dark and stormy.
"You know I'm fucked up, Ava.
You saw what I... That night you woke me?
You saw, damn it.
How can you trust me with your body this way?"
"I trust my heart and what it tells me." I smoothed the frown line between his brows. "You can give my body back to me, Gideon. I believe you're the only one who can." His eyes closed, and his damp forehead touched mine.
"Do you have a safe word, Ava?"
Startled, I pulled back again to study his face. A few members of my therapy group had talked about dom-sub relationships. Some required total control to feel safe during sex. Others fell on the opposite side of the line, finding that bondage and humiliation satisfied their deep-seated need to feel pain, to experience pleasure. For those who practiced that lifestyle, a safe word was an unambiguous way to say stop. But I couldn't see how that had any relevance to me and Gideon. "Do you?"
"I don't need one."
Between my legs, the gentle stroke of his finger became less tentative. He repeated his question.
"Do you have a safe word?"
"No, I've never needed one. Missionary, doggy style, B.O.B., that's about the extent of my mad skills in the sack." That brought a touch of amusement to his otherwise severe face.
"Thank God. I wouldn't survive you otherwise."
And still, that fingertip massaged me, spurring a dark yearning. Gideon could do that to me, make me forget everything that happened before. I had no negative sexual triggers with him, no hesitation or fears. He'd given that to me. In return, I wanted to give him the body he'd freed from my past. The long case clock near the door began to chime the hour. "Gideon, we've been gone a long time. Someone will come looking for us." He put the slightest pressure against my sensitive rosette, barely pressing.
"Do you really care if they do?"
My hips arched into the touch. Anticipation was making me hot all over again.
"I don't care about anything but you when you're touching me."
His free hand lifted to my hair and held it at the roots, keeping my head still.
"Did you ever enjoy anal play? Accidentally or by deliberation?"
"No."
"And yet you trust me enough to ask me for this."
He kissed my forehead as he drew the slickness of his semen back to my rear. I gripped his waistband.
You don't have to...
Yes, I do.
His voice had that wickedly assertive bite to it.
If you crave something, I'll be the one to give it to you. All of your needs, Ava, are mine to fulfill, whatever it costs me.
Thank you, Gideon.
My hips shifted restlessly as he continued to lubricate me gently.
I want to be what you need, too.
I've told you what I need, Ava. Control.
He brushed his parted lips back and forth over mine.
You're asking me to lead you back into painful places, and I will, if that's what you need. But we have to be extremely careful.
I know.
Trust is hard for both of us. If we break it, we could lose everything. Think of a word you associate with power. Your safe word, Angel. Choose it.
The pressure of that single fingertip became more insistent. I moaned,
Crossfire.
I like it.
Very fitting. His tongue dipped into my mouth, barely touching mine before retreating. His finger rimmed my anus over and over, pushing his semen into the puckered hole, a soft growl escaping him as it flexed in a silent plea for more. The next time he pressed against the ring, I pushed out, and he slipped his fingertip inside me. The feeling of penetration was shockingly intense. Just as before, surrender weighted my body, leaving me languid.
Are you okay?
Gideon asked harshly, as I sagged against him.
Should I stop?
No, don't stop.
He pushed fractionally deeper, and I clenched around him, a helpless reaction to the feel of something gliding across tender tissues.
You're snug and scorching hot, he murmured, and so soft. Does it hurt?
No, please, more.
Gideon withdrew to his fingertip, then slid in to the knuckle, slow and easy. I quivered in delight, astonished by how good it felt, that teasing bit of fullness in my rear.
How's that?
He asked hoarsely.
Good. Everything you do to me feels good.
He withdrew again, glided deep again. Leaning forward, I thrust my hips back to give him easier access, and pressed my breasts against his chest. His fist in my hair tightened, pulling my head back so he could take my mouth in a lush, wet kiss. Our open mouths slid across each other, growing more frantic as my arousal built. The feel of Gideon's finger in that darkly sexual place, thrusting in that gentle rhythm, had me rocking backward to meet his inward drives.
You're so beautiful.
He murmured, his voice infinitely gentle.
I love making you feel good. Love watching an orgasm move through your body.
Gideon!
I was lost, drowning in the powerful joy of being held by him, loved by him. 4 days alone had taught me how miserable I'd be if we couldn't work things out, how dull and colorless my world would be without him in it.
I need you.
I know.
He licked across my lips, making my head spin.
I'm here. Your cunt's trembling and tightening. You're going to come for me again.
With shaking hands, I reached between us for his cock, finding it hard. I lifted the layers of my underskirts so I could insert him into my drenched sex. He slid in a few inches, our standing positions preventing deeper penetration. The connection alone was enough. I wrapped my arms around his shoulders, burying my face in his neck as my knees weakened. His hand left my hair, his arm clasping my back and holding me close.
Ava,
the tempo of his finger thrusts quickened.
Do you know what you do to me?
His hips nudged against mine, the wide crest of his penis massaging a sweetly tender spot.
You're milking the head of my dick with those hungry little squeezes. You're going to make me come for you. When you go off, I'm going with you.
I was distinctly aware of the helpless noises spilling from my throat. My senses were overloaded by Gideon's scent and the heat of his hard body, the feel of his cock rubbing inside me and his finger pumping into my rear. I was surrounded by him, filled with him, blissfully possessed in every way. A climax was building in force, pounding through me, pooling in my core, not just from the physical pleasure, but from the knowledge that he'd been willing to take a risk, once again, for me. His finger stilled, and I made a sound of protest.
"Hush," he whispered. "Someone's coming."
Oh, God. Magdalena came in earlier and saw us. What if she told—
"Don't move."
Gideon didn't let me go. He stood just as he was, filling me front and back, his hand caressing the length of my spine and smoothing my dress down.
"Your skirts hide everything."
With my back to the room's entrance, I pressed my flaming face into his shirt. The door opened. There was a pause, then—
"Is everything all right?"
"Christopher." I felt awkward being unable to turn around.
"Of course," Gideon said smoothly, coolly in control. "What do you want?"
To my horror, he resumed the push and withdrawal of his finger, not with the deep strokes of before, but slow, shallow thrusts that didn't disturb my skirts. Already aroused to a fever pitch and hovering on the verge of orgasm, I dug my nails into his neck. The tension in my body from having Christopher in the room only ramped up the erotic sensations.
"Ava?"
Christopher asked. I swallowed hard.
"Yes?"
"Are you okay?"
Gideon adjusted his stance, which moved his cock inside me and bumped his pelvis against my pulsing clit.
Yes.
"We're just talking about dinner."
My eyes closed as Gideon's fingertip grazed the thin wall separating his penis from his touch. If he nudged my clit again, I'd come. I was too wound up to stop it. Gideon's chest vibrated against my cheek as he spoke.
"We'd be done sooner if you'd go, so tell me what you need."
"Mom's looking for you."
"Why?"
Gideon shifted again, rocking into my clit at the same moment he gave a quick, deep thrust of his finger into my rear. I climaxed. Afraid of the wail of pleasure that wanted out of me, I sank my teeth into Gideon's hard pectoral. He grunted softly and started coming, his cock jerking as it pumped thick spurts of scorching semen into me. The rest of the conversation was lost beneath the roar of my blood. Christopher said something. Gideon replied, and then the door shut again. I was lifted to sit on the armrest, and Gideon started thrusting between my spread thighs, using my body to rub out the rest of his orgasm, growling in my mouth as we finished off the rawest, most exhibitionistic sexual encounter of my life. Afterward, Gideon led me by the hand to a bathroom, where he lightly soaped a washcloth and cleansed between my legs before he paid the same attention to his cock. The way he took care of me was sweetly intimate, demonstrating yet again that as primal as his desire for me was, I was precious to him.
"I don't want us to fight anymore," I said quietly from my perch on the counter.
He tossed the washcloth down a concealed laundry chute and refastened his fly. Then he came to me, brushing his cool fingertips down my cheek.
"We don't fight, Angel. We just have to learn not to scare the hell out of each other."
"You make it sound so easy," I grumbled.
To call either of us virgins would be ridiculous, yet emotionally that was just what we were, fumbling in the dark and too eager, completely out of our depths and self-conscious, trying to impress and missing all the subtle nuances.
"Easy or hard, doesn't matter. We'll get through this because we have to."
He pushed his fingers through my hair, restoring order to the disheveled strands.
We'll discuss when we get home. I think I've discovered the crux of our problem.
His conviction and determination soothed the restlessness I'd been feeling the last few days. Closing my eyes, I relaxed and enjoyed the tactile delight of having my hair played with.
Your mother seemed startled that I'm a blonde.
Did she?
My mother was, too. Not about me being a blonde, I qualified. That you'd be interested in one.
Was she?
Gideon?
He kissed the end of my nose and ran his hands down my arms. I'm not the type you usually go for, am I?
His brow arched. I have one type. Ava Lauren Trammell. That's it.
I rolled my eyes. Okay, whatever.
What does it matter? You're the woman I'm with.
It doesn't matter. I'm just curious. People don't usually stray from their preferred type. Stepping between my legs, he put his arms around my hips.
Lucky for me that I fit your type.
Gideon, you don't fit any type,
I drawled. You're in a class by yourself. His eyes sparkled.
Like what you see, do you?
You know I do, which is why we really should get out of here before we start screwing like minks again. Pressing his cheek to mine, he murmured,
Only you could blow my mind in a place that's always made my skin crawl. Thank you for being exactly what I want and need.
Oh, Gideon.
I wrapped my arms and legs around him, holding him as close to me as possible. You came here for me, didn't you? To take me away from this place you hate?
I'd walk into hell for you, Ava. And this is pretty damn close.
He exhaled harshly.
I was about to go to your apartment and drag you away with me when I learned you'd come here. You have to stay away from Christopher.
Why do you keep saying that? He seems very nice. Gideon pulled back, sifting my hair through his fingers. His eyes stayed fiercely locked to mine.
He takes sibling rivalry to the extreme, and he's unstable enough to make him dangerous. He's reaching out to you because he knows he can hurt me through you. You have to trust me on this.
Why was Gideon so suspicious of his half-brother's motives? He had to have a good reason. It was yet another thing he didn't fully share with me.
I do trust you. Of course I do. I'll keep my distance.
Thank you.
Catching me by the waist, he lifted me off the counter and set me on my feet.
Let's grab Carrie and get the hell out of here.
We made our way back outside with my hand in his. I was uncomfortably aware that we'd been gone a very long time. The sun was going down, and I was pantyless. My ruined boy shorts were presently stuffed into the front pocket of Gideon's jeans. He glanced at me as we entered the marquee.
I should have told you before. You look gorgeous, Ava. That dress is amazing on you, and so are those fuck-me red heels.
Well, clearly they work. I bumped my shoulder into him. Thank you.
For the compliment? Or the fucking...
Hush!
I admonished, flushing. His dark velvet laugh turned every female head in hearing distance. And some of the men's, too. Placing our linked hands at the small of my back, he pulled me close and smacked a kiss on my mouth.
Gideon!
His mother glided toward us with sparkling eyes and a wide smile on her lovely face.
I'm so happy you're here.
She looked like she might hug him, but his posture altered subtly, charging the air around him with an invisible field of power that encompassed me as well. Elizabeth drew to an abrupt halt.
Mother?
He greeted her with all the warmth of an Arctic storm.
You can thank Ava for my being here. I've come to take her away.
But she's having a good time, aren't you, Ava? You should stay for her sake.
Elizabeth looked at me with a plea in her eyes. My fingers flexed around Gideon's hand. He came first, that was never in question, but I couldn't help but wish I knew the story behind his coldness toward a mother who seemed to love him. Her adoring gaze slid over the face that had shades of her own, drinking in every feature hungrily. How long had it been since the last time she'd seen him in person? Then I wondered if maybe she'd loved him too much. Revulsion made my spine stiffen.
"Don't put Ava on the spot," Gideon said, rubbing his knuckles against my tense back. "You've gotten what you wanted. You've met her."
"Perhaps you'll both come to dinner later this week?" His only answer was an arched brow. Then his gaze lifted, luring my attention to follow it. I found Carrie emerging from what appeared to be a hedgerow maze with a very recognizable Pop Princess on his arm. Gideon gestured him over.
"Oh, not Carrie, too," Elizabeth protested. "He's the life of the party."
"I thought you might like him." Gideon bared his teeth in something that was too sharp to be a smile. "Just remember that he's Ava's friend, mother. That makes him mine as well."
I was hugely relieved when Carrie joined us, breaking the tension in his easygoing way.
"I was looking for you," he said to me. "I was hoping you'd be ready to go. I got that call I was expecting."
Looking into his sparkling eyes, I knew Trey had reached him. "Yes, we're ready." Carrie and I walked around to say our goodbyes and offer our thanks. Gideon remained at my side like a possessive shadow, his demeanor calm but markedly aloof. We were all walking toward the house when I spotted Ireland off to the side staring at Gideon. I stopped and looked up at him. "Go get your sister so we can say goodbye."
"What?"
"She's standing to your left." I looked to our right to hide my prodding from the young girl whom I suspected might hero-worship her eldest brother. He gestured Ireland over with a brusque wave of his hand. She took her time ambling over. Her pretty face schooled into an expression of militant boredom. I looked at Carrie with a shake of my head, remembering those days all too well.
"Listen," I squeezed Gideon's wrist. "Tell her you're sorry you two didn't get to catch up while you were here, and she should call you sometime if she wants."
Gideon shot me an arch look.
"Catch up on what?"
Rubbing his biceps, I said, "She'll do all the talking if given a chance."
He scowled. "She's a teenage girl. Why would I give her a chance to talk my ear off?"
I pushed onto my tiptoes and whispered in his ear,
"Because I'll owe you one."
"You're up to something."
He eyed me warily for a moment, then pressed a hard kiss to my lips with a growl.
"So we'll leave it open and say you owe me more than one. Quantity to be determined."
I nodded. Carrie rocked back on his heels and twirled one index finger around another in a sign meaning wrapped around your finger. Only fair, I thought, since he was wrapped around my heart. I was surprised when Gideon accepted the keys to the Bentley SUV from one of the valets. "You drove? Where's Angus?"
"Day off."
He nuzzled against my temple.
"I missed you, Ava."
I settled into the front passenger seat, and he shut the door behind me. As I secured my seatbelt, I saw him pause by the hood, making eye contact with two men dressed in black, who waited beside a sleek black Mercedes sedan at the end of the drive. They nodded and got in the Benz. When Gideon pulled out of the Vidal driveway, they followed directly behind us.
"Security detail?" I asked. "Yes. I took off fast when I was told you were here, and they lost the tail for a while."
Carrie went home with Clancy, so Gideon and I headed straight to the penthouse. I found myself getting turned on from watching Gideon drive. He handled the luxury vehicle the way he handled everything, confidently, aggressively, and with skillful control. He drove fast, but not recklessly, weaving easily over the curves and straightaways of the scenic route back to the city. There was almost no traffic until we hit the gridlock of Manhattan. When we arrived at his apartment, we both went straight into the master bathroom and undressed for a shower.
As if he couldn't stop touching me, Gideon washed me from head to toe. Then he dried me with a towel and wrapped me in a new robe of embroidered teal silk with kimono sleeves. He finished by pulling a pair of similarly hued drawstring silk pants out of a drawer for himself. "Don't I get panties?" I asked, thinking about my drawer of sexy underwear.
"No. There's a phone hanging on the wall in the kitchen. Hit speed dial 1 and tell the man who answers that I want him to pick up double my usual dinner order from Peter Luger."
"All right." I headed out to the living room and made the call. Then I had to search for Gideon. I found him in his home office, a room I hadn't been in before. I didn't get a good look at the space at first because the only lighting came from an angled picture light on the wall, and a barrister's lamp on his polished wood desk. Plus, my eyes were more interested in focusing on him. He looked utterly sensual and compelling, sprawled in his big black leather chair. He held a tulip glass of some liquor that he warmed between his hands, and the beauty of his flexing biceps sent tingles racing through me, as did the tight lacing of muscles on his abdomen. His gaze was on the wall illuminated by the picture light, which snagged my attention, too. I was startled when I saw the art, a huge collage of blown-up photos of him and me. The picture of our kiss on the street outside the gym, a shot of us from the press gauntlet at the advocacy dinner, a candid of the tender aftermath of our fight in Bryant Park. The focal point was the image in the center that had been taken while I slept in my own bed, lit only by the candle I'd left burning for him. It was an intimate, voyeuristic shot, one that said more about the photographer than it did the subject. I was deeply touched by the proof that he'd been falling along with me. Gideon gestured at the drink he'd poured for me in advance and sat on the edge of his desk.
"Have a seat."
I complied, curious. There was an edge to him that was new, a sense of purpose and calm determination paired with laser-precise focus.
What had brought on his mood? And what did it mean for the rest of our evening?
Then I saw the small photo collage frame lying on the desktop next to my drink, and my worry faded. The frame was very similar to the one already on my desk, but this one held 3 photos of Gideon and me together.
"I want you to take that to work,"
he said quietly. "Thank you." For the first time in days, I was happy. I hugged the frame to my chest with one hand and picked up my glass with the other. His eyes glittered as he watched me take a seat.
"You blow kisses at me all day from your picture on my desk. I think it's only fair that you be equally reminded of me. Of us."
I exhaled in a rush, my heartbeat not quite steady. "I never forget about you or us."
"I wouldn't let you if you tried."
Gideon took a deep drink, his throat working on a swallow.
"I think I've figured out where we made our first misstep. The one that's led to all the stumbles we've had since."
"Oh?"
"Take a drink of your Armagnac, Angel. I think you'll need it."
I took a cautious sip of the liquor, feeling the instantaneous burn, followed by recognition that I liked the flavor. I took a bigger drink. Rolling his glass between his palms, Gideon took another drink and eyed me thoughtfully.
"Tell me which was hotter, Ava, sex in the limo when you were in charge, or sex in the hotel when I was?"
I shifted restlessly, unsure of where the conversation was leading. "I thought you enjoyed what happened in the limo. While it was happening, I mean. Obviously not later."
"I loved it," he said, with quiet conviction. "The image of you in that red dress, moaning and telling me how good my cock feels inside you, will haunt me as long as I live. If you'd like to top me again in the future, I'm definitely game."
My stomach tensed. The muscles in my shoulders began to knot. "Gideon, I'm starting to freak out a little. All this talk of safe words and topping, It feels like this conversation is leading somewhere I can't go.
You're thinking of bondage and pain. I'm talking about a consensual power exchange.
Gideon studied me intently.
Would you like more brandy? You're very pale.
You think? I set the drained glass down. It sounds like you're telling me you're a dominant.
Angel, you knew that already.
His mouth curved in a soft, sexy smile.
What I'm telling you is that you're submissive.
Chapter 17. I pushed to my feet in a rush.
Don't, he warned in a dark purr. You're not running yet. We're not done.
You don't know what you're talking about. Being under someone else's thumb? Losing my right to say no? Was never going to happen again.
You know what I went through. I need control as much as you do.
Sit down, Ava.
I stayed on my feet, just to prove my point. His smile widened, and my insides melted.
Do you have any idea how crazy I am about you? He murmured.
You're crazy, all right, if you think I'm going to put up with being ordered around, especially sexually.
Come on, Ava. You know I don't want to beat you, punish you, hurt you, demean you, or order you around like a pet. Those aren't needs either of us has.
Straightening, Gideon leaned forward and placed his elbows on the desktop.
You're the most important thing in my life. I treasure you. I want to protect you and make you feel safe. That's why we're talking about this.
God. How could he be so wonderful and so insane at the same time?
I don't need to be dominated.
What you need is someone to trust. No. Close your mouth, Ava. You'll wait until I'm finished.
My protest spluttered into silence.
You've asked me to reacquaint your body with acts previously used to hurt and terrorize you. I can't tell you what your trust means to me. Or what it would do to me if I broke that trust. I can't risk it, Ava. We have to do this right.
I crossed my arms. I guess I'm dumber than bricks. I thought our sex life was rockin'. Setting his glass down, Gideon kept going as if I hadn't spoken.
You asked me to meet a need of yours today, and I agreed. Now we need to...
If I'm not what you want, just spit it out!
I set the picture frame and my glass down before I did something with them I'd regret.
Don't try to pretty it up with...
He was around the desk and on me before I could stumble back more than a couple steps. His mouth sealed over mine. His arms caged me. As he'd done earlier, he carried me to a wall and restrained me against it, his hands banding my wrists and lifting them high above my head. Trapped, I could do nothing as he bent his knees and stroked my cleft with the rigid length of his erection. Once, twice, silk rasped against my swollen clit. The bite of his teeth on my covered nipple sent a shiver through me, while the clean scent of his warm skin intoxicated me. With a gasp, I sagged into his embrace.
See how easily you submit when I take over?
His lips followed the arch of my brow.
And it feels good, doesn't it? It feels right.
That's not fair.
I stared up at him. How could he expect me to respond any differently? As disturbed and confounded as I was helplessly drawn to him.
Of course it is. It's also true.
My gaze roamed over that glorious mane of inky hair, and the chiseled lines of his incomparable face. The longing I felt was so acute, it was painful. The hidden damage inside him only made me love him more. There were times when I felt like I'd found the other half of myself in him.
I can't help it that you turn me on, I muttered. My body is physiologically supposed to soften and relax, so you can shove that big cock inside me.
Ava, let's be honest. You want me to have total control. It's important to you that you can trust me to take care of you. There's nothing wrong with that. The reverse is true for me. I need you to trust me enough to give up that control.
I couldn't think when he was pressed up against me, my body achingly aware of every hard inch of him. I am not submissive.
You are with me. If you look back, you'll see you've been yielding to me all along.
You're good in bed, and have more experience. Of course I let you do what you want to me.
I bit my lower lip to stop it from quivering. I'm sorry I haven't been as exciting for you.
Bullshit, Ava. You know how much I enjoy making love to you. If I could get away with it, I'd do nothing else. We're not talking about games that get me off.
Then we're talking about what gets me off? Is that what this is?
Yes, I thought so.
He frowned.
You're upset. I didn't mean...
Damn it.
I thought discussing this would help us.
Gideon. My eyes stung, then flooded with tears. He looked as wounded and confused as I felt. You're breaking my heart.
Releasing my wrists, he stepped back and swept me up in his arms, carrying me out of his office and down the hallway to a closed door.
Turn the knob, he said quietly.
We entered a candlelit room that still smelled faintly of new paint. For a few seconds I was disoriented, unable to comprehend how we'd stepped out of Gideon's apartment and into my bedroom.
I don't understand.
A serious understatement, but my brain was still trying to get past the feeling of being teleported from one residence to another.
You moved me in with you?
Not quite.
He set me down, but kept an arm around me.
I recreated your room based on the photo I took of you sleeping.
Why?
What the hell? Who did something like that?
Was this all to keep me from witnessing his nightmares?
The thought shattered my heart further. I felt like Gideon and I were drifting further away from each other by the moment. His hands sifted through my damp hair, which only increased my agitation. I felt like batting his touch away and putting at least the length of the room between us. Maybe two rooms.
If you feel the need to run, he said softly, you can come in here and shut the door. I promise not to bother you until you're ready. This way, you have your safe place, and I know that you haven't left me.
A million questions and speculations roared through my mind. But the one thing that stuck out was,
are we still going to share a bed when we're sleeping?
Every night.
Gideon's lips touched my forehead.
How could you think otherwise?
Talk to me, Ava.
What's going through that beautiful head of yours?
What's going through my head?
I snapped.
What the fuck is going on in yours? What happened to you in the 4 days we were broken up?
His jaw tightened.
We never broke up, Ava.
The phone rang in the other room. I cursed under my breath. I wanted us to talk, and I wanted him to go away, both at the same time. He squeezed my shoulders, and then let me go.
That's our dinner.
I didn't follow him when he left, feeling too unsettled to eat. Instead, I crawled onto the bed that was exactly like my own and curled around a pillow, closing my eyes. I didn't hear Gideon come back, but I felt him as he drew to a stop at the edge of the bed.
Please don't make me eat alone, he said to my rigid back.
Why don't you just order me to eat with you? He sighed, and then slid onto the bed to spoon behind me. His warmth was welcome, chasing away the chill that had brought goosebumps to my skin. He didn't say anything for a long while, just gave me the comfort of having him close. Or maybe he was taking comfort in me.
Ava.
His fingers caressed the length of my silk-clad arm.
I can't stand you being unhappy. Talk to me.
I don't know what to say. I thought we were finally coming to a point where things would smooth out between us.
I hugged the pillow tighter.
Don't tense up, Ava. It hurts when you pull away from me.
I felt like he was pushing me away. Rolling, I shoved him to his back. Then I mounted him, my robe parting as I straddled his hips. I ran the palms of my hands over his powerful chest and raked the tanned flesh with my nails. My hips undulated over him, stroking my bare cleft over his cock. Through the thin silk of his pants, I could feel every ridge and thick vein. From the way his eyes darkened and his sculpted mouth parted on quickened breaths, I knew he could feel the outline and damp heat of me as well.
"Is this so awful for you?" I asked, rocking my hips. "Are you lying there thinking you're not giving me what I want because I'm in charge?"
Gideon set his hands on my thighs. Even that innocuous touch seemed dominating. The edginess and sharpened focus I'd detected not long ago abruptly made sense to me. He wasn't restraining his force of will anymore. The tremendous power coiled inside him was now directed at me like a blast of heat.
"I've told you before," he said huskily. "I'll take you however I can get you."
"Whatever. Don't think I don't know you're topping from the bottom."
His mouth curved with unapologetic amusement. Sliding down, I teased the flat disc of his nipple with the tip of my tongue. I blanketed him, as he'd done to me in the past, stretching my body over his hips and legs, my hands shoving beneath his gorgeous ass to squeeze the firm flesh and hold him tight against me. His cock was a thick column against my belly, renewing my fierce appetite for him.
"Are you going to punish me with pleasure?"
he asked quietly.
"Because you can. You can bring me to my knees, Ava."
My forehead dropped to his chest, and the air left my lungs in an audible rush. "I wish."
"Please don't be so worried. We'll get through this along with everything else."
"You're so positive, you're right."
My gaze narrowed. "You're trying to prove a point."
"And you might prove yours."
Gideon licked his lower lip, and my sex clenched in silent demand. There was a brilliant depth of emotion in his eyes. Whatever else was going on in our relationship, there was no doubt we were seriously twisted up over each other. And I was about to demonstrate that in the flesh. Gideon's neck arched as my mouth moved over his torso.
"Oh, Ava, your world's about to be rocked, Mr. Cross."
It was. I made sure of it. Feeling goofy with feminine triumph, I sat at Gideon's dining table and remembered him as he'd been just a short time ago, damp with sweat and panting, cursing as I took my time savoring his luscious body. He swallowed a bite of his steak, which had been kept hot courtesy of a warming drawer, and said calmly,
"You're insatiable."
"Well, duh. You're gorgeous, sexy, and very well hung."
"I'm glad you approve. I'm also extremely wealthy."
I waved one hand carelessly, encompassing the whole of what had to be a $50 million apartment. "Who cares about that?"
"Well, I do, actually."
His mouth curved. I stabbed my fork into a German fried potato, thinking that Peter Luger food was almost as good as sex. Almost. "I'm interested in your money only if it means you can afford to stop working in favor of lounging around naked as my sex slave."
"I could afford to financially, yes. But you'd get bored and dump me. And then where would I be?"
His look was warmly amused.
"Think you proved your point, do you?"
I chewed, then said, "Should I prove it again?"
"The fact that you're still horny enough to want to proves my point."
"Hmm." I drank my wine. "Are you projecting?" He shot me a look and casually chewed another bite of the tenderest steak I'd ever had. Restless and worried, I took a deep breath and asked,
Would you tell me if our sex life didn't satisfy you?
Don't be ridiculous, Ava.
What else could have prompted him to bring this up after our 4-day breakup? I'm sure it doesn't help that I'm not the type you usually go for, and we haven't used any of those toys you had in the hotel.
Stop talking.
Excuse me? Gideon set his utensils down.
I'm not going to listen to you shred your self-esteem.
What? You're the only one who gets to do all the talking?
You can pick a fight with me, Ava, but it's still not going to get you fucked.
Who said?
I shut up when he glared.
He was right. I still wanted him. I wanted him on top of me, explosively lustful, completely in control of both my pleasure and his. Pushing away from the table, he said curtly,
"Wait here."
When he returned a moment later, he set a black leather ring box beside my plate and resumed his seat. The sight of it hit me like a physical blow. Fear struck me first, icy cold, followed swiftly by a longing that was white hot. My hands shook in my lap. I clasped my fingers together and realized my whole body was shaking. Lost, I lifted my gaze to Gideon's face. The feel of his fingertips brushing down my cheek soothed much of the vibrating anxiety inside me, leaving behind the terrible yearning.
"It's not that ring," he murmured gently. "Not yet. You're not ready."
Something inside me wilted. Then relief flooded me. It was too soon. Neither of us was ready. But if I'd ever wondered how deeply I had fallen in love with Gideon, now I knew. I nodded.
"Open it," he said.
With cautious fingers, I pulled the box closer and thumbed open the lid.
Oh.
Nestled inside the black leather and velvet was a ring like no other. Gold rope-like bands were intertwined and decorated with X's covered in diamonds.
"Bonds," I murmured. "Secured by crosses. Gideon cross."
"Not quite. I see the ropes as representative of the many threads of you, not bondage. But yes, the X's are me holding on to you. By my fingernails, it feels like." He finished his glass of wine and refilled both our glasses. I sat unmoving, stunned, trying to take it all in. Everything he'd done in the time we'd been apart, the photos, the ring, Dr. Peterson, the replicated bedroom, and whoever had been following me around, told me I'd never been far from his mind, if I'd even left it at all.
"You gave me my keys back," I whispered, still remembering the pain.
His hand reached out and covered mine.
"There are a lot of reasons why I did that. You left me wearing nothing but a robe, Ava, and without your keys. I can't stand thinking about what could have happened if Carrie hadn't been home to let you in right away."
Lifting his hand to my mouth, I kissed the back, then released him and closed the lid of the ring box.
"It's beautiful, Gideon. Thank you. It means a lot to me."
"But you won't wear it."
It wasn't a question. After the conversation we've had tonight, it feels like a collar. After a moment, he nodded.
"You're not altogether wrong."
My brain hurt, and my heart ached. 4 nights of restless sleeping didn't help. I couldn't understand why he felt I was so necessary, even though I felt that way about him. There were thousands of women in New York alone who could replace me in his life, but there was only one Gideon Cross. "I feel like I'm disappointing you, Gideon. After everything we've talked about tonight, I feel like this is the beginning of the end."
Pushing his chair back, he angled toward me and touched my cheek.
"It's not."
"When do we see Dr. Peterson?"
"I'll go alone on Tuesdays. After you talk to him and agree to couples counseling, we can go together on Thursdays."
2 hours of your week? Every week? Not including the travel back and forth. That's a big commitment.
I reached up and brushed the hair back from his cheek. Thank you.
Gideon caught my hand and kissed the palm.
It's no sacrifice, Ava.
He went into his office to work a bit before bed, and I carried the ring box into the master bathroom with me. I studied it further while I brushed my teeth and hair. There was a soft hum of need beneath my skin, a persistent level of arousal that shouldn't have been possible considering the number of orgasms I'd already had over the course of the day. It was an emotionally driven need to connect to Gideon, to reassure myself that we were okay. Clutching the ring box in my hand, I went to my side of Gideon's bed and set it on the nightstand. I wanted it where I'd see it first thing in the morning, after a good night's sleep. With a sigh, I draped my beautiful new robe over the footboard and crawled into bed. After tossing and turning for a long while, I finally crashed. I woke sometime in the middle of the night to a racing pulse and quick, shallow breathing. Disoriented, I lay still for a moment, gathering my bearings and remembering where I was. I tensed when it sank in, my ears straining to hear if Gideon was having another nightmare. When I discovered him lying quietly beside me, his breathing deep and even, I relaxed with a sigh. What time had he finally come to bed? After the days we'd spent apart, it worried me that he might have felt a need to be alone. Then it hit me. I was aroused, painfully so. My breasts were full and heavy, my nipples furled and tight. My core was aching and my cleft wet. As I lay there in the moonlit darkness, I realized that my own body had woken me with its demands. Had I dreamed something erotic? Or was it enough that Gideon was lying beside me? Pushing up onto my elbows, I looked at him. The sheet and comforter clung to his waist, leaving his sculpted chest and biceps bared. His right arm was tossed over his head, framing the fall of dark hair around his face. His left arm lay between us on the blankets, the hand fisted and bringing to relief the network of thick veins that coursed up his forearms. Even in repose, he looked fierce and powerful. I became more aware of the tension inside me, the sense that I was drawn to him by the silent exertion of his formidable will. It wasn't possible that he could demand my surrender while he was sleeping. Yet it felt that way. Felt like that invisible rope between us was pulling me to him. The throbbing between my legs grew unbearable, and I pressed one hand against the violent pulsing, hoping to dull the ache. The pressure worsened it instead. I couldn't stay still. Throwing the covers off, I slid my legs off the side of the mattress and thought about trying a glass of warm milk with the brandy Gideon had given me earlier. Abruptly, I paused, riveted by the moonlight gleaming off the leather of the ring box on the nightstand. I thought of the jewelry inside it, and my desire surged. At that moment, the thought of being collared by Gideon filled me with heated yearning. You're just horny, I scolded myself. One of the girls in group had talked about how her master could use her body any time and in any way he wanted, for his pleasure alone. There was nothing about that I'd found sexy, until I put Gideon in the picture. I loved getting him off. I loved making him come, just because. My fingers brushed over the lid of the tiny box. Exhaling a shaky breath, I picked it up and opened it. A moment later, I was sliding the cool band onto the ring finger of my right hand.
Do you like it, Ava?
A shiver moved through me at the sound of Gideon's voice, deeper and rougher than I'd ever heard it. He'd been awake, watching me. How long had he been conscious? Was he as attuned to me while sleeping as I seemed to be to him? I love it.
I love you.
Setting the box aside, I turned my head to find him sitting up,
His eyes glittered in a way that made me impossibly more aroused, but also sent a bite of fear through me. It was an unguarded look, like the one that had literally knocked me on my ass when we met, scorching and possessive, filled with dark threats of ecstasy. His gorgeous face was harsh in the shadows, his jaw taut, as he lifted my right hand to his mouth and kissed the ring he'd given me. I moved to kneel on the bed and draped my arms around his neck. "Take me, carte blanche." He cupped my butt and squeezed.
"How does it feel to say that?"
"Almost as good as the orgasms you're going to give me."
"Ah, a challenge."
The tip of his tongue teased the seam of my lips, tempting me with the promise of a kiss he deliberately withheld.
"Gideon."
"Lie back, angel, and grip your pillow with both hands."
His mouth curved in a wicked smile.
"Don't let go for any reason. Understand?"
Swallowing hard, I did as I was told. So turned on, I thought I might come from just the relentless spasming of my needy sex. He kicked the covers down to the footboard.
"Spread your legs and pull up your knees."
My breath caught audibly as my nipples hardened further, causing a deep ache in my breasts. God, Gideon was hot as hell like this. I was panting with excitement, my mind spinning with the possibilities. The flesh between my legs trembled with want.
"Oh, Ava,"
he crooned, running his index finger through my slit cleft.
"Look how greedy you are for me. It's a full-time job keeping this sweet little cunt satisfied."
That single rigid finger pushed into me. Parting the swollen tissues, I tightened around him, so close to coming I could taste it. He withdrew and lifted his hand to his mouth, licking my flavor from his skin. My hips arched without volition, my body straining toward his.
"Your fault. I'm so hot for you," I gasped. "You slacked on the job for days."
"Then I better make up for lost time."
Sliding down into a prone position, he settled his shoulders beneath my thighs and rimmed the quivering entrance to my body with the tip of his tongue.
Round and around, ignoring my clit and refraining from fucking me even when I begged.
"Gideon, please."
"Shh. I have to get you ready first."
"I'm ready. I was ready before you woke up."
"Then you should have woken me earlier. I'll always take care of you, Ava. I live for it."
Whimpering in distress, I rocked my hips into that teasing tongue. Only when I was soaked with my own arousal, creaming desperately for the feel of any part of him I could get inside me, did he crawl over me and settle between my spread thighs, placing his forearms flat on the bed. He held my gaze. His cock, feverishly hot and hard as stone, lay against the lips of my sex. I wanted it inside me more than I wanted to breathe.
"Now,"
I gasped.
"Now."
With a practiced shift of his hips, he rammed deep into me, shoving me up the bed.
"Oh, God,"
I gasped, convulsing ecstatically around the thick column of flesh that possessed me. This was what I'd needed since we'd talked in his home office, what I'd craved as I rode up and down his steely erection before dinner, what I'd needed even as I climaxed around his thick length.
"Don't come," he murmured in my ear,
cupping my breasts in his hands and rolling my nipples between his thumb and forefingers.
"What?"
I was pretty sure if he'd just take a deep breath, I'd go off.
"And don't let go of the pillow."
Gideon began to move in a slow, lazy rhythm.
"You're going to want to," he murmured,
nuzzling the sensitive spot beneath my ear.
"You love to grab my hair and rake your nails down my back. And when you're close to coming, you like to squeeze my ass and yank me deeper."
makes me so damn hard when you go wild like that. When you show me how much you love how I feel inside you.
No fair,
I moaned.